This morning, we would quickly look at a conversation around common salvation. But most importantly, why we're looking into this is so that we can really understand. Can you hear me very well? We can really understand how God maximizes our coming together. Like we can truly see, a lot of people don't understand what happens when we come together. You know? At times some people are in church because they can't be somewhere else. You know? How many of us ever attended church because of that before? Like, you were in church because you know you can't go somewhere else. Yeah, there was a time, you know, that my parents were going to church and it would be strange that you've not dressed up. You know, it's just like my son saying, "Daddy, bye. It's Sunday, Oga." You know? Do you understand? So whether he's inspired or not, whether he even knows why he's coming or not, that's secondary. But because I'm leaving that house and we are going to a place where everybody goes to, it's not like maybe I'm going to work, I tell him to stay back. But I'm going somewhere everybody should go to. And so, you know, there are people like that. You know, for example, you know, it's just strange if, you know, how many of you have tried to stay back at home at times? And you just know that your landlord must not see you. So you shut all the window. Then you turn off all the light. Or maybe a neighbor, you know, that expects that you will be in church. Yeah. You just, at times you even turn off all your online, anything that suggests you're online. Turn off your WhatsApp, turn off your, so that you just have a feeling that you are somewhere. Even though you didn't go somewhere. You understand what I'm saying? And so, at times, we don't understand the reason for the coming together, what God does with each one of us when we come together, and what God intends to build out of that arrangement. So, at times, if they ask some of us, what's the reason for church? We'll give different reasons. You know? The reason why some people look out for church is for family. Yeah, for family, you know, a brother to speak to, a sister to speak to, someone to share your burdens with, someone to lean on, you know, someone to ask for, to be prayed with, you know. Or even just the seeing people, you know, some people like to see people, you know. I've not seen you in a while, so I came to see you. You understand? Like in a while, meaning I didn't see you during the week. The last time I saw you was last week Sunday, you know. And the enthusiasm to wake up, like, oh, I'll see this person, you know. The one that is very bad is coming to network. That one is bad. Like network for work. Like and this MD is in this church. Yes, I've heard people say that's why they are going to a church. When you just track the person, oh, this is where the person works, and this person has opportunities that they can, yeah, something can drop. You understand? So they arrange themselves, and then they make efforts towards ensuring that networking happens. So you try to maybe sit beside the person, you bring your business card to church, you prepare for interview. You understand? Like, the way you are dancing, or you know you don't want to dance so that the person will not have another impression of who you are. Now, that one is bad. That's bondage, actually. And that's not a good reason to come to church. Now, in church, you might find someone who would bless you with a business opportunity. You should, actually. You should find someone that will say, "Hey, I think we're working on a project. I think you can do it." But that is not the intention why you dressed up and you left your heart. And so that song is very powerful. We all dressed up. We all did all that we did this morning because of him. Do you understand? But the conversation this morning is so that we can understand the intricacies of the activities that happen and why those activities are really, really happening and what God intends to do with those activities. Hallelujah. Amen. So that's what we're going to look at today. Amen.
Amen.
I don't intend to rush it. If we don't have enough time, we would pick it up whenever God allows us to do that. Let's open our Bibles to Matthew chapter 6, verse 10. Matthew chapter 6, verse 10. Well, let's start from the ideas to pray. Bloody, please, did you help me give it to them? Okay, so you have it. So please just don't show it when I'm not. Please don't do like the millstone. How many of us were blessed with that message? And I hope anybody didn't have horrible dream. Maybe you dreamed that you saw somebody that was being drowned in a milestone or millstone. Let's go to the beginning of the prayer. Father, we thank you that the entrance of your word gives light and understanding to the simple. Father, we pray that let understanding be given to us this morning as we look into your word. In Jesus' mighty name have we prayed. In this manner, therefore, pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Now, I've heard people say that because Jesus taught this prayer before he went to the cross and before the whole conversation of born again, They tried to say this is not how you pray, which is wrong. There's a whole lot of New Testament in this prayer. Amen.
Amen.
So that Jesus had not gone to the cross to die, to carry the sins of the world on him and become the propitiation for our sins doesn't invalidate this experience. Like when he said, when they asked him, teach us how to pray. So after he resurrected, you know, after the Holy Spirit came, all the other experiences that came afterwards don't invalidate this. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So it's because I've heard that before. That, oh, you know, you don't pray this way. I mean, in this order particularly, because I think this chapter also introduced an order. You understand? If you go to verse 9, go back to verse 9. In this manner, therefore, pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. And some people say, okay, thanksgiving first, you know. And we back it up with Psalms 100. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. So we spend like 5 minutes here. Do you understand? And immediately we... there's one that I grew up with, which I had to, I don't know the theology for that one, but it also has a foundation in the scripture, you know, where it says, if you regard iniquity in your heart, the Lord will not hear you. And so the next prayer is, Father, if we've committed any sin, knowingly or unknowingly, even the way you know everything is knowingly. Amen. Say, Father, if we committed any sin, knowingly or unknowingly, in error or in action, meaning the one you did, like you carried gun and you went to the house to do it, and the one that, you didn't know what came over you. Like I said, 90% of it is the one you knew. And so we quickly pray that, actually, we don't stay there. You don't even want to hear that, my son, this thing that you did, this, like you're going somewhere. Do you understand? And so you quickly do that so that your prayers will not be hindered. And no, that one is not necessarily here. Maybe, I think it's here. You know, where he says, forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And so, when we're done with that, then we move into, maybe if there's any petition, do you understand? And you pray for this, you pray for that, and then we give thanks, knowing that our prayers have been answered. Now, that's a good order to pray, actually. Because, I mean, whosoever brought that understanding back then is very scriptural. Because why go pray when he wouldn't hear you? Do you understand? So that it's very scriptural. Why stress? You know, when you know that he wouldn't receive that prayers, and or that prayer would not be heard. Hallelujah. And if it's not even heard, it can be answered. You know, it says, my hand is not too heavy to save you, neither is my hand is not too short to reach you, neither is my ears too heavy to hear you. It says what? But it's your iniquity that has separated you, that has caused the separation. I remember then, so for me then, I would quote like some scriptures. So then, you know, say, if our sins be as red as crimson, they be as red as scarlet, you know, it would forgive. Now, proper Christian upbringing is good. Haphazard Christian upbringing is not good. And that's one prayer we have to pray in this our generation, that we wouldn't be haphazard with the Christian upbringing of those that are behind us. That we wouldn't be anyhow, because we have knowledge. And the knowledge could put us in a place where we are not growing very well. But at times when you don't have knowledge, you are humble to do the routine. You understand? So it's when you have access to God, you know that, oh, this is how this thing gets done. You know, that information is power. Meaning it can either make you do or make you not do. For example, this is why you don't fret when a witch addresses you. It's because you know that the witch cannot do anything. So that's the information that gives you power not to do. So you don't do anything. And you also know that when someone is sick, you know the prayer of the faith would heal the sick. And so that's power to do. You understand? So knowledge in itself would either make you do or not do. And there are things that we might not be doing that we should be doing. Many a times I always just pray, you know, the frailties of my own self will not interfere with, you know, this is where I always pray it. That my limitations will not determine my harvest. I prayed that a lot during the teens church. I don't know if Pastor Kenneth still remember. We usually pray it here. That what we don't know will not be the reason why we didn't have the harvest. Do you understand? Like, at the end of the day, God will not say, the reason why the harvest didn't come is because you guys were short. Do you understand what I'm saying? So that the limitations, whether obvious or not so obvious, they wouldn't be the reason why we wouldn't have the harvest. Whatsoever God needs to do to make us do the things we need to do to have the harvest, God should make us do them. Hallelujah. Amen. And so we would not be haphazard. We would not just do Christianity anyhow because of those that are coming ahead of us. Because that's how heritage is sustained. That's how landmarks are sustained. That's how, you know, it's not so much about you shouting that preserve the ancient landmark. It's you that you saw the landmark last. If you preserve it, the next person will preserve it. Yeah. So if you start seeing landmark losing the intensity or the texture of whatever that thing is, if you start seeing it drop with you, it most likely will drop further with the next generation. Hallelujah. Amen. So I said all that to say that this prayer, if you're still praying like this, don't feel bad. That's what I'm saying. Yeah, you're praying right, you know. It's often, even in verbatim, I mean, like, if your prayer is, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Yeah. Let's go to verse 10. Then he said, your kingdom come. Your kingdom come. Meaning, God's kingdom should come. And In the ears of the disciples, this, you know, it was in Acts chapter 1, we found out this was even ringing something else in there. You know, he said, when will you finally restore the kingdom? So when, when he said this prayer, like, yes, our petition is part of the structure. I'm sure when they get here, they always prayed very well, because at that time, the kingdom, there was no kingdom for them. It was the Roman experience. So, you know, because they say it's where the nail is pinching your shoe, you put, so this line is with emphasis. And then they will not pray the next line with the understanding of the first line, knowing fully well that they know that his will is that his kingdom should come. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And so they said, your kingdom, or Jesus said to them, you pray this way, your kingdom come. God's kingdom has an agenda to enter into the surface of the earth. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And the thing is, there are many things that go on in heaven. Many, many things. Some we know, some we don't know. Some we may never know. Do you understand? But amongst the many things that go on in heaven, we know one thing. We know there's joy in heaven over a sinner that repents. Like, if you don't know anything that is happening in heaven, know that one. That every time someone steps out, every time someone is convicted in their heart, acknowledges God in their with their mouth, in their heart, and either says the sinner's prayer or the sinner that intends to repent prayer. Yeah, because it's not just sinner's prayer. It's the sinner that is intending to repent. Then there's joy in heaven. Now, what that joy could mean, we don't know. So whether it's that there was a shout when that guy walked out and surrendered his life to Christ, or whether they had to play music. Maybe they were doing something before. Then maybe one counter in heaven, let me put it that way, just went up from 5, it went to 6. Then maybe whatever they are doing, there's just a pause. And then maybe everybody jubilee. Or maybe there's a department that rejoices. No, I'm just, I don't know. That's why I'm using my godly imagination, which is okay. No, so maybe there's a department that they will be the one in charge of. You know, maybe they don't dance every time. They don't do it. You know that, somebody has not been saved. Maybe God's attention is always looking at them. And that's why I say his desire is that this department is always active. That's why he says he desires that all men be saved and they come to the knowledge of the truth. So he wants that department to be on perpetual. Their KPI should be 100 all the time. You understand? And that's why we should evangelize. That's why we should reach out to the lost. So whichever way, whether they suspend every activity in heaven when a sinner is saved, or whether there's a department that is in charge, maybe some group of angels that are in charge of that activity, but there's joy. He says there's joy. There's joy in heaven. Whether it's even a thing of an atmosphere, like something just comes into the atmosphere at that time, then you just know, someone has gotten saved, then they move on. You understand? But we know that there's joy. There's an activity of joy in heaven over a sinner that repents. So when he says, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven, there are things, is the will of the Father is being done in heaven. And the will would result into many things being done. Whether they are sending an angel on an errand to minister to a saint, or whether petitions are being taken from earth to heaven, activities are going on in heaven. Amen. Yeah, I just perceive in my heart, someone is like, oh God, show me heaven. Don't worry, heaven is already here. Yeah. Dig it. Heaven is here as well. It says, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. No, just stay there. So let us quickly look at one other thing that is being done in heaven. Like I said, there are a lot of things that are done in heaven. You know, the saints that pass on to glory, they are being welcomed in heaven. And people are receiving crowns in heaven. Judgment is also happening. You know, Bible says, for it is appointed for a man to die once. Afterwards is what? Judgment. So there's another department that is always on duty as people are exiting this earth. It's like the examples I'm mentioning. People are... Shalom, the very rap, they help me. No, Asheshe Bere. Yeah. Like, we just started. So let's go to John, 1 John 5. And let's look at one activity that is happening in heaven. Like I said, today we'll be looking at the word common salvation in another light, but still the same. I think we've looked at this before in the past, but in another light, where we are trusting God that He would make us one as He is one. Let's go to verse. Okay, let's start. Whoever believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God, and everyone who loves Him, who begot, also loves him who is begotten of him. Verse 2. By these we know that we love the children of God when we love God and keep his commandments. Verse 3. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not burdensome. For whatever is born of God overcomes the world, and this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. I think KJV says, even our faith. Who is he who overcomes the world, but he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God? This is he who came by water and by blood, Jesus Christ, not only by water, but by water and blood. And it is the Spirit who bears witness, because the Spirit is truth. For there are three that bear witness in heaven. So this is one activity that also happened in heaven. The Father, the Word, and the Holy Spirit. And these three, they are what? They are one. It says there are three that bear witness. No. Stay in verse 7, please. So in heaven, we know that there are three that made themselves one to bear witness. To bear witness in heaven. The Father, the Word, and the what? And the Holy Spirit. So this is also one of the activities that is happening in heaven. It means the God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. They have formed a quorum. They have formed a... they've brought themselves together to be one. And what they do is that they bear witness. Can we look at that first part of that verse 7? Thank you, Holy Spirit. In another rendition, maybe NIV, NLT or something. There's a lot of grace in the house today.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord.
He says, there are three that testify. So, you know, just the same way you take mic and you are giving testimony. He says, there are three that they testify. They are speaking. Can you put it together? Let's see how he renders the following. Oh, okay, NIV didn't explain that breakdown. Okay, let's look at NLT. Thanks. Maybe NLT. So we have three witnesses. Can you look at, maybe Amplified? Yes, and then we leave that place. There are three witnesses. But I like the way NIV says it. It says that there are three that testify. I'm trying to look for... I think there's... Maybe it's still the same. Let's read on. Maybe it's still... Let's read on. Go back to NKJV. Sorry, go to KJV. So it's KJV. It says there are three that bear record in heaven. Yeah. It says, for there are three that bear record in heaven. The Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. And these three, they are one. Let's just read on. We'll come back to seven. And there are three that bear witness in earth. The Spirit, the water, and the blood. And these three agree in one. If we receive the witness of men, the witness of God is greater. For this is the witness of God, which he hath testified of his Son. He that believeth on the Son of God hath the witness in himself. He that believeth not God hath made him a liar, because he believeth not the record that God gave of his Son. And this is the record, that God hath given to us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. Now this is what the three are speaking. So he said there are three that bear record in heaven. Now he says, now this is the record. Please go back. Now this is the record, that God hath given to us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. Is that all? No, move on, please. Oh, he that had the Son had life, and he that had not the Son of God had not life. These things have I written unto you, that you believe on the name of the Son of God. Now, so 11 and 12 told us about the record or the witness that they bear in heaven, that they seek in heaven. It says there are three that bear witness in heaven. And this is the record. This is the witness that they bear. Meaning this is what they testify. They say that God had given to us eternal life, and this life is in his Son, and he that had the Son had life, and he that had not Son had not life. So this statement alone is your ticket for evangelism. Like God, the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, what they are doing in heaven is that they are proclaiming this statement. It says this is the record that they bear in heaven. That even aside from every other thing that concerns God, meaning how the health is evolving, how Israel and Hamas are fighting, how somebody needs healing, how somebody has not eaten that God will provide for, like those are other things that God is concerned about. But what he is most concerned about that was recorded here is that he bears witness, he bears record in heaven, and that record is that God has given to us eternal life, and this eternal life is in his Son. And anybody that has the Son has life, and if you don't have the Son, you don't have life. Is that not an evangelism too? Like you're not saying another thing that God is not saying. Like if you really want to know what God is saying, you know that God is saying this. But I think one thing that is why I brought us here is that for them to bear this record. Now, in this statement, they didn't zoom in into the Holy Spirit. And maybe that will also help us understand some of the characteristics of the Holy Spirit. Like, he wouldn't speak of himself. But he was also involved here. If you go to the preceding verse. Don't go there. Just there. And so, these three, you know, imagine having a board meeting. And in that board meeting, they said, this is the mission statement. Maybe you guys are three founders. And then in the mission statement, the name of the one founder was there. Let's even imagine they put name. Is that mission statement? The name of one founder, let's say maybe the founder, that one or CEO is there. Then maybe the C something O. They also put his name there. Then there's the third guy. They did not put his name. Now that meeting cannot end. Yes. Like, because you need to first of all explain to me why the two of you have your name there first. Do you understand what I'm saying? Now, when he says that these three are one, it was immediately exemplified here. Even the Son knows, wait. Why is it not the Son that gave life? And then the father now ensures that everybody has life. I'm wanting us to understand, you know, when they say the triune God. So that word, triune itself, it has unity in it, like the word triune. So we'll learn that as we go into koinonia and communion. So the word communion itself is come and union. But even in its root word, the union speaks more about unity, while the come speaks about common, meaning what we share. Do you get what we share? It's not what, not common as part, what is less. Like it's not of value. Common, but of high value. Meaning accessible, but of high value. Do you understand what I'm saying? So this statement, this record, immediately exemplified the communion that is happening with God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Now, it's very powerful that even in terms of their person, what each will do, it was all sorted. Me, I have life. I give you that life. You take that life. You take it to the earth. Anyone that needs you has life. Now, on earth, that meeting will not end, like I said. Everybody, even the one that they featured, we say, why am I 40 shares? Is it not supposed to be equal? Like, when you divide it. Even some people will even be happy if you divide it in a way that nobody has more. Meaning, and I'll just have 10, 10, 10. And so what will happen to the remaining 70? And nobody will have it. You understand what I'm saying? No, it wasn't that way. And it's so beautiful. The Holy Spirit was, for me, it's a good understanding to literally know when he said, when the Comforter comes, it will guide you into all truth. He wouldn't speak of himself. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
So this is one activity that I want to help you see that is going on in heaven. And what is making that activity happen is the oneness, between is two people, Nabi. Amongst the Trinity. Amen.
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 You know, someone might be asking, you know, why are we going? Why are we? Yeah. You know, first of all, you know, God intends that we would have a graduation in our fellowship. In our fellowship with him and in our fellowship with one another. You know, see, the only thing that can upgrade anything in God is the word of God. And I'm not saying just the word that you just read out, but the word that God reveals to you. So the man that says he can never be poor, it's not because the one that is still poor doesn't know where that place is. You know, it's not like that. It's not like this book is hidden. And it's only those that find it that make it like that. If you even find it and you don't, and God doesn't give you grace, you may know little than the person that maybe recently found it. Maybe you've been with it for like 20 years. And somebody just found it maybe last year or last month. And so God intends that our fellowship will be upgraded. And the only reason why he wants this as well is because of the next phase God is taking us as a people to. You know, one of the key things that God would always look at when he's doing anything big is how the people that he's doing something with, how they've organized themselves. See, the sustenance of even what God is doing is dependent on how those people have organized themselves. If you look into history, you know, what has put a timeline to every revival is not God. It's the way people have organized themselves. It's the way people have arrange the disposition of their heart, what they've really seen in that move. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Let's go to John 17. John 17, I'll read from verse 11. We don't have time. Let's just move fast. Huh? And now I am no more in the world, but these are in the world, and I come to thee, Holy Father. Keep through thy own name those whom you have given me, that they may be one as we are one. NKJV, please. I was feeling somewhat the way I was reading. Okay. While I was with them in the world, I kept them in your name, that those whom you gave me, I have kept, and none of them is lost except the son of perdition, that the scripture might be fulfilled. Go back to 11, please. Now I am no longer in the world, but these are in the world, and I come to you. Holy Father, keep through your name those whom you have given me, that they may be one as we are one. Now we know that they are one, right? We understand that they are one. But Jesus was praying here that there should be an activity of keep through your name. Keep. And I think we've looked at the word keep, Shama. We've looked at that in this house, how God keeps, how God preserves. But he says that one of the things that God does through keeping is our oneness. Now, oneness is not so much about we've agreed to be one. Because it's a spiritual work. Even when both of us, we found every reason to agree. So Jesus is saying here that there is a power in the activity called keep through your name. And that will lead them to becoming one as we are one. He says, keep through your name those whom you have given me, so that they may be one. So, you know, when I was preparing for this, I was trusting God to first of all do like a Bible study around, keep through your name. Because some might be asking, he was praying to the Father, right? So what's the name of the Father? And in simple terms, I'm not going there. You know, what he was really asking for, or what he was asking for, not really. What he was asking for is keep through your presence. Keep these ones with your manifest presence. Then they will be one. He says, the name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous runs into it, and they are saved. Now, it's not, the name is a presence. So we say, in the name of Jesus, you've introduced a presence into that thing. But we'll leave, let's just leave. I don't want to just say that, so that we can understand the other things I will say. So he says, keep through your name those whom you have given me, so that they all will be one. Meaning, if the presence of the Lord is in our midst, oneness is sure. So when we say we are coming to fellowship, what we are coming to fellowship is with his name. And that his name affords us his presence. Okay, there's no time. I would skip some other things around Koinonia. Maybe we'll look at that later. But when Jude, let's go to Jude 3. Just quickly go to Jude 3. So when Jude was writing his letter, his epistle here, he didn't really, I wish he talked about this, but he actually said it in passing, or he made a reference to something that it wasn't the big deal. I mean, the theme of Jude is Jude trying to deal with those that would creep in and come, destroy the work of God. You know, how to spot them, how to quickly identify them, and how to deal with them. But he made a very, very beautiful statement about what God has done, what Jesus had done. He says, "Beloved, while I was very diligent to write to you concerning our common salvation." And like I said, the word "con" is not cheap. You know, the way we use the word "common," it's not like, oh, this thing is very con. No, no. The word "common" here means it's accessible, freely accessible. It's freely accessible. You can have it. You can be a part of us today and you have it. Like, you don't have to wait 17 years. Then you now graduate to having. That's not common. And I think that was what Apostle Brandon Bailey was also teaching some years back about exclusivity not being the way God works. God doesn't do exclusivity. Like, this thing is only excluded to some. It's common salvation. It's for all. So he says, I was very diligent to write to you concerning our common salvation. I found it necessary to write to you, exhorting you to contend earnestly for the faith which was once delivered to the saints. So I was going to have us look at, you know, the word common salvation and how it translates into koinonia, and how God intends that we understand our coming together from that perspective, that we come together for fellowship, and we also come together for sharing. For sharing, meaning whatever God is doing here is accessible to everybody that's here. Do you understand what I'm saying? But like I said, there's no time. So I'll quickly move into three things that are greatly needed in our midst to achieve the type of fellowship that God intends for us. Can we quickly go to 1 John chapter 1, verse 7? Let's read there, you know, where it talks about, but if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have what? Fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sins. From all sins. From all sins. Holy Spirit, help us today. I think I'm nourished. So, like I said, there are three things that God intends will be the structure of our fellowship. So, when we come together, when we say we are trusting God for oneness, there are three things that we need to see amidst us. The first one is his presence. His presence. See, when a people gather, you know, heaven is here because he is here. Amen. Amen. Where the Lord is heaven because he is there. Meaning, if God is not in a place, you can say it's hell. Where the presence of the Lord is heaven. So when he says, "Thy kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven," one of the things that they enjoy in heaven is his presence. So if we arrange ourselves knowing fully well that what we need is his presence, we will be one. If this one is not looking for shoe, this one is not looking for tie, we are all looking for his presence. We would achieve oneness. Now, what will his presence produce? His presence will produce his glory. Now, we didn't come to be looking for the output. The output is his glory. Now, when Isaiah was in the courts, right? And you know, after he had prophesied, whoa. Then God now, whoa. God now looked at him. And he was still, God, eh, whoa, eh, whoa, God, eh, whoa, God, eh, whoa, God, eh, whoa. And that's whoa in Yoruba. God, look, oh, God, look at this one too. Look at this one. Then after God now, whoa, oh, no, I'm a man with unclean lips. But what happened after? He says the train, he talked about the seraphims coming in. And he says the train of his glory is because he came, then his glory came. So meaning you can't ask for glory without presence. Or you won't even see glory without presence. So if we have his presence, we will have his glory. So if we arrange ourselves in our worship, in our diligence to service, in how we comport ourselves, and all that is in our heart is that his presence will be made manifest here. We will see his glory. Now, that's what we need to do life. But what we need to gather as one is his presence. Because by the time we have his glory, we all live here becoming giants. But what we need when we gather to ensure that we are one, we are in unison with what God is doing, is his presence. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
The second thing that we need is light. Can we say is light?
It's light.
We need is light. You know, some verses before 1 John 1:7, it talked about God is light. God is light. You know, there are some things that God is. You know, you say God is love. God is light. So when we gather and when we say our fellowship is with him, with his son, we are saying that we are gathering onto his light. Now, what was his light? His light is what we get from strong doctrines and biblical perspective for life. Now, the reason we come, you know, when Papi will be teaching about marriage, he's doing two things for us. Strong doctrine in marriage and biblical perspective to do marriage. Now, that's God's light. Now, that's godly perspective. So, if we would gather and we will be one, we need godly perspective. God's light is God's perspective. Amen. So we would need his light. Now, what will the light produce? You know, like I said, his presence will produce glory. His light will produce understanding and power. Yeah. It's what you know that empowers you. It's what has been revealed in your heart that empowers you. Now, don't see the way our gathering needs to be gathered onto. We are going to gather onto understanding. We'll gather unto his light. Then he gives us understanding. Amen.
Amen.
Because if we don't gather rightly, we'll be chasing. You know, imagine someone say, glory one church here. No, presence low one church here. It's God's presence that is there, that is manifested in glory. So it's not like, but glory one bell. Glory one bell. No. It's presence that is there. God is there. The reason why the enemies of Israel feared Israel was because God was in their midst. And so what they were seeing was the glory of Israel. Not that Israel said, we need glory. No, they got presence. And that presence manifested in glory. I said the second thing that we need is God's light. When we gather, we are trusting God that your light will be made manifest. And it's not just when the word is being preached. Is that even when we gather, when we're singing, when we're worshiping, when we're sharing with one another, when I'm asking you, Alpha, how are you doing? There's establishing strong doctrine and biblical perspective to do life. So it means we will not just gather, and when maybe two or three people are gathering, then they are not using biblical perspective anymore. This media thing that I want to do, this is how they do it there. No. He's saying even how we would do that would have come from the God's perspective that we have received. That's how we can achieve oneness. We need God's light. Can we say we need God's light?
We need God's light.
And that light will give us understanding and power. See, if you are powerless, you need God's light. When the light of God shines on your soul, one will be asking, how was Apostle Paul so... You know, normally, if you've had a very bad past and God comes to you, there's one humility in quotes that is expected of you. You know. Like, how would you, just from that experience, you're going to Arabia? Like, who goes for retreat? I've not met one. Like, the day you got born again, you went for retreats. Like, they would say, be coming to church, oh, be reading your Bible, be... What came on him was the light of Yahweh. The light of God shone upon him. See, when you know that he immediately said, Lord, that heart has changed. It's not somebody that has been calling Lord before. His best ability was to go and collect letter, enforce Judaism, and deal with the, in quotes, the guys protesting. Because the lives of the Christians was like they were against, so it was like they were protesting. So that he said, who are you, Lord? That heart has changed. Understanding immediately has rested on that heart. Immediately he left where he was. He says he didn't first of all go to Jerusalem. He went to Arabia first. So when we gather, we will do things that we can't believe. We think we can't do stuffs. When we gather unto the light of his word in strong doctrine and always ensuring that we have biblical... So for example, we want to build here. We need to be engaging. What is the biblical perspective for building? How does God build a house? Oh, how does God ensure that those that build, they will not be the one to destroy it? So we are engaging what? Biblical perspective. We are engaging strong doctrine. See, anyone that is not comfortable with doctrine, the person will not last. That's even a symptom. When they say, everybody, do it your way. You can't have oneness. God will not do much with a people that are not strong in doctrine, a people that are not seeking the light of Jehovah. Even the physical description of light itself is a manifestation of God's light. It says, your word is a what? Is a lamp unto my feet. It's his word first. It's his own perspective first. Then it can then now become your own perspective. It can then now be your own pathway to navigate life. So when we say God's light, it's not like I have God's light like this. Like I have God. No. It's what you have received that now became this one. So we as a people, our fellowship will be gathered unto God's light. Because God is light. We'll be gathered unto his presence. Because his presence will produce glory in our midst.
Yes.
This is why the sick will be healed.
Yes.
That's what glory then does. We will have faith for the impossible. That's what his understanding will do in our hearts. You will just know you can do what he says you should do.
Yes.
Life will no longer be difficult because you now know what to do. The third thing that we will be gathered to, which is the last that I have here, is God's love. You know, I perceive in my heart that these three things are the very innate attribute of God's personality. His presence, his light, and his love. Wherever you find those three things, you've received fullness. See, when they say, come and take... What, when you drink of it, you will not thirst again. Is you've had etik baolong. You guys have drawn God down. Now that's the usefulness of our fellowship. Our fellowship is not so much about the numbers gathered unto themselves doing what they think they should do. Is the heart rightly gathered unto what would make them one? If they are one, they will see great stuffs with their eyes. They will do great stuffs. They will walk out of the room and go and do great stuffs outside. is his love. God's love. God's love. God's love. Now, what will his love produce in our midst? His love will produce unity. Now, there's a part of koinonia that deals more about love, which is sharing. I mean, even in plain terms, like, what I have, you have it. Now, when there's God's love in our midst, we know what it described in Acts, that no one lacked anything. Yeah, that's it. His love produces unity in our hearts. Like, our hearts will not be divided. As you receive of God, you know immediately that I've received from my brother. I've received from my sister. You know, like Papi will say, if you are thinking it's just all about you, it's a waste of resource. So as you're receiving, it's for my brother. It's for my sister. So that's a heart that is united, actually. That's a heart that is what? United. Can you bring up the first imagery? Just to give us some people understand better with graphics. The first one, please. Can we see this? Let me just say, some people might not be able to see. Now, when we say common salvation, these are the three things we must seek. We must seek his presence, we must seek his light, and we must seek his love. Now, what those three things will do for us is what I call commonwealth. See, this is when you truly have citizenship. See, if a country says that you are a citizen of that country and you are not enjoying anything, you are not a citizen. Like the reason why a lot of people look forward towards PR is because they know by the time you get PR, you now have access to medicals, you know, you have access to the health insurance, you have access to what they used to have access to or what they have access to. And so when you say you've come to, let's say, this is where God has put you, and you don't have a sense of commonwealth, we've not gathered as one. Can you use the second imagery? And you can stop there. So like I said, the presence of God will produce what? Glory. The light of God will produce understanding and power. The love of God will produce what? Unity in our midst. See, friends, we need these three to do all that God wants us to do. See, by the time we have this, the kingdom of God that Jesus desires to be established in GCC, to be established on earth, will be possible. When he says, your kingdom come, we've actively sought the guys above, and we've perpetually seen the three beneath. Then we can confidently say that here, there's the commonwealth of God here. See, when he says commonwealth, first of all, it's a thing of citizenship. Then it's a thing where we've gathered, and you know there's resources there. And I have access to it. It is common. Like I said, common not as little. It's common, it's accessible. So, that this one... I will also have a breakthrough. The breakthrough is here. That someone received an instruction from God, and you are in a drought of instruction, it means I will also receive instruction from God. So it's common work. Then kingdom is manifest. Kingdom is what? Manifest. See, the question that we have lingered in our soul is, God, how can we ensure your kingdom is here? This is the answer to God's prayer. Says your kingdom come, your will be done as it is. We'll wrap up by, let's just quickly read Acts, and then if God permits us, we'll come back again to look at here and how God uses what's the Acts chapter 4 In Jesus' mighty name, have we prayed?